in a room with a snorer. The guy, ladies, this is your voting. How many ladies are, no men, all ladies. How many are voting with the, yeah. Did he snore a tune or anything, or just snored, I guess. But, you know, my wife and I, we go to bed every night. Last thing we do is pray. Prior to that, we watch TV. It's terrible. Since COVID, we watched Little House on the Prairie and the Waltons and all those, you know, programs. But There Goes My Heart or whatever it's called, you know. But my wife says it's there. Well, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, we'll watch it. I'll start watching that thing. 10 minutes later, I'm snoring away. I can sleep for 10 minutes and she shuts it off. I'll wake up and I'm awake for hours. But last night I slept so well. How many did not sleep well last night? I'll see you at the altar here in a few moments. You're walking forward. You already admitted you got problems. Great day, beautiful day. Great crowd here this morning. Great crowd last night. God wants to work in our hearts, and I hope that He will. I want Him to work in my heart today. Amen. And I pray that that God will speak to all of us through His Word. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. There's not a clock in here, is there, Pastor? Is there a, what? Right under my Bible. Well, there it is. I can't see it, but I, it is 7 after 10. What time am I supposed to be? Just tell me. I'll be brief. And I thank God for, you know, I got a text this morning from a preacher, and he was planning on coming to this meeting. He said, I was so fired up. And he said, Brother Trevor, I can't come. I need to talk to you today. I'm going through a huge church split. He's been there about 8 or 9 years. Church, he's built building after building, doing so great. I don't know what the problem is, but I guarantee it's not over the virgin birth. Right. It's not over the deity of God. It's over some personality difficulty. And some fella's got his mind, he wants to, or some lady's got in her mind, she wants to run the church. And they're going to split that church. And you know, it's in a smaller city. Everybody's going to know for centuries to come if the Lord tarries. I just ache for that. He's such a good boy. He and his wife could not have kids, and then now they have two. And they're own children. It's this miracle of God. He's such a talented boy, such a good preacher. Why would a preacher have to go through that? You know, if you're one that creates, don't ever create a problem in the church. You know, in 1955, our pastor at that time, he had to leave the ministry and he started selling cars. And I asked my dad never told me anything. But I found out about 20 years ago, I was preaching out of town, and they said, your preacher that left the ministry, he's almost 100 years of age now, and he's in a rest home here. And they said to me, it's really awful what took place in his life. He committed adultery. I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, you never told me that. He goes, you didn't need to know that, son. And I wish those people wouldn't have told you. You know, you don't need to know all the garbage. I think of our president today. There's something, I don't know what's going on in Iran, but now they're saying this and he's saying that. You know, I trust my president more than I do those Iranians. Getting quiet in here now. I trust him more than I trust them. I'm not saying he's righteous and godly and holy. I'm not saying he's an independent fundamental Baptist, but I thank God for him. And I thank God that he's out to preserve freedom of religion in America. And if you don't think he is, you wait till this next election when we get somebody we don't want. Don't get Newsom. I can tell you right now from California, he is worthless as dirt. That guy's got problems. And you think, well, maybe we'll get whatever her first name is, Harris. What's her first name, Kamala? I don't know. I really don't. Kamala? Is that her name, Kamala? Whatever it is. She cackles over everything. Oh, my goodness. Well, enough of that. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read one verse together. We'll remain seated. Verse 10. 5:10. Ready? Begin. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Our Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it gives us instruction for daily living. I pray that we would wind up here at the last moment before eternity as good Christians. Lord, I want to be a good Christian. I want to love you. I want to serve you. And I pray your blessing upon our time together in this short message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two judgments, and you know this. I'm singing to the choir now. It's the great white throne judgment. We will never stand at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 19, God will gather them all together, and they're the rejecters of God. And as they depart from me, I never knew you. And they'll be sent into hell for one long eternal night. Not 1,000 years, not 10,000, not 1,000,000, but forever and ever. They're lost, and they're going to go to hell. I wonder if you have a loved one that's going to hell. I wonder if you have a relative going to hell. I wonder if you have a neighbor going to hell. We all do. I've never seen a traffic jam on Sunday morning going to the house of God. We live about 1.5 miles from the San Francisco 49ers stadium. And I'll tell you what, there's traffic jams. There's people going to there all the time, 70,000. But there's no, I've never seen a traffic jam coming to church. There's many people going to stand before God and he'll judge them. There's also the judgment that you and I will stand before. That's the Bema Seat judgment. The Bema Seat judgment is where the judge, like the Olympics, he would climb the stairs and he's there. And he is going to place every single one of us during the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, 7 years. We're going to all be judged. You know, it scares me to death about my life. I want to be so honest. I prayed again this morning. I said, Lord, help me be an honest preacher today. Help me to tell the truth. Help me to walk humbly before you. You know, I'm not a humble man. You're not humble. We all have pride in our heart. And that pride is such an evil thing. I said, God, I don't want pride today. I want to be humble before you. I want to serve you. I'm going to stand before God one day. My Bible says the books will be open and there'll be wood, hay, or stubble, or gold and precious stone. God's going to judge us. And those things that will last are not the, I can't sing in the flesh. I can't preach in the flesh. I must be filled with the Spirit of God. It must be God speaking through me. That's what it's all about. I've given my entire adult life to God. For 55 years, I've served him, and it's been a wonderful journey. I see this great preacher down here. He's going to preach later this week, I believe. He has served God a lifetime, such a faithful man. I don't want to come to the end and stand before a holy God and realize it was all wasted, all wasted. I'm not the prime example, but I've not tried to do anything in my life. It's been about 4 years since my wife and I have taken a vacation. We're going to try to get 5 days here in the next month or two. But we don't take vacations. We don't go to fancy places. And we haven't been to Disneyland in probably 15, 20, 20 years or so. And we're not going back. And we don't go to here or there. And I don't play golf. And I don't bowl. And I don't hunt. Thank God I don't hunt. Why would you guys sleep in a tree stand all night when you can sleep in a warm bed? I have no idea. Wait for Bambi to come by and then you shoot it. I don't understand that at all. I've not given myself over to sports. I've not given myself, but I've given myself over to the work of God. I love working. I love working. I love getting up in the morning. I don't set an alarm. But about 4 o'clock or 4:30, every single morning of my life, I start waking up. I get up at 5 and I work all day long. I could tell God I've worked. But if it's been in the flesh, it's going to amount to nothing. My Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. We'll all stand there. I think of my grandkids. I've got 14 and a great grandbaby coming next month. And I think of those 14, 15 kids now, our three kids and all preachers of the gospel, our preachers' wives. And I think of those kids. I could see the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know when it's going to take place as far as if I'm in year two or three up into heaven, but we're at the T's now. And God the Father says, Jack Treiber. I could see Ashlyn, she's 25, our firstborn granddaughter. She's the one expecting. Shh. Riley, Hudson, Reagan, Annalise, Addison, all the grandkids, be quiet. This is gonna be awesome. Papa's going up there. He has crisscrossed the country for 45, 50 years, preaching every Monday and Tuesday somewhere in America. He has preached the gospel at his church for 50. This is going to be great. Papa's coming. Shh, shh. And for the first time in my life, it's gonna be revealed. The real Jack Treiber will stand before a holy God. That frightens me, fellas. I want to be honest. I can't preach. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. I want to be godly. But I was praying today. I said, Lord, my prayer life stinks compared to what it should be. And then I started to justify. I got this big prayer journal, 50 pages of just, I can't even get through them. I got a great prayer journal that I work with and I use. And I try to pass tracks, so I try to win the lost. But I miss more people than I gain. And there's so many times, I tell you, I'm so weak. So many times I've either been on my knees, I can't really get on my knees much because I fall asleep. Every time I fall asleep, I get up in the middle of the night, I can't sleep, so I go to my study and sometimes I just read, you know, what Sweet 16 did or something. And then I'll start reading my Bible. I fall asleep reading my Bible. I start to pray and I'll fall asleep reading my, and I'm on my knees and I'm praying and I'm asleep. You know, I'm at my very best. I'm so weak. I'm so frail. God's word said we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I think of the appearing. Look at what it says in verse 10. We must all appear. You have an appointment with death, but you and I all as Christians have an appointment with the judgment seat of Christ. Every teenager in this room has an appointment with God at the judgment seat of Christ. Every single adult has an appointment with God at the judgment seat. Every young wife, every young husband, every old person, every person has an appointment with Jesus Christ. We must all of us must appear. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians, please. First, keep your hand here. We're coming right back. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man, what's those two words, say it together, every man, say it again, every man's work shall be made manifest. That word manifest, the Apostle John uses it often in his writings. Manifest means to be publicly exposed. I'm going to be standing before God and he's going to publicly expose the real Jack Treiber. I believe there's going to be weeping in heaven. Say, God's going to wipe away all tears. Exactly. It says it two times in Revelation. I believe there's going to be sorrow in heaven at first. I'm going to look at the work that God has sent me to do and I'm going to realize I missed opportunities. I miss prayer opportunities. I miss faith opportunities. I miss preaching opportunities. I missed it. It's all going to be revealed one day. We must all appear. Look what he says. Every man's work shall be made manifest, public exposed. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try. What's the next two words? Every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose your reward. What are we going to do with those rewards? Revelation 4:10. We're going to throw them and cast them at the Savior's feet. I don't get a reward in heaven because of this or that, so I can walk around and say, well, look at me. No, it's not going to be looking at me. It's going to be looking to the Lamb of God, the one that came and gave his life for your sin, for my sin. Every man must appear, go back. We must all appear, every single person, every deacon, every usher, every Sunday school teacher, every bus worker, every pastor must appear. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in his body. There's the assembly. There's the appearance, and the assembly is every one of us. I can go through a meeting like this and pick out the preachers, and I'm so grateful for the preachers, the men of God. They all convict my life. The young ones do. The old ones do. But preachers, we're all going to be exposed one day, won't we? Whether my work was for my flesh, for my pride, for myself, or for his glory. I find the awards, not only must there be an appearance in the assembly, but the awards. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, that's the assembly, everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Philippians 4:1 says, ye are our reward. You know, there's the soul winner crown. There's the soul winner's crown. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. I want to be a soul winner. I think you want to be. You want to be in a meeting. You want to have spent the expenses and stayed in a hotel or this great Bible Baptist church, all that you do for the people of God. You want to have done that had you not loved God. But it's more than just loving God in a meeting. It's going house to house, door to door, giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. My people are the best. I pastor the greatest people in the world. We got them out by armies. We got Bible distributions. We for 10, 15, 20 years, we've given 100,000 Bibles door to door every year. You know, I never knew this. For 10 years, at the end of many of their lives, all those ladies passed away. They're a bunch of Filipino women, about 6 or 8 of them. I found out that they did the entire city of Santa Clara, 150,000 people door to door. And they did the entire city of Campbell door to door. And they did the entire city of Milpitas. All of them, 100,000 people or more in their city. They did that entire, and they did all of East Palo Alto and Palo Alto. And most of my, I've laid to rest now in the cemetery, but I never knew it. They just gathered together one day a week. I was out of town preaching. They were passing Bibles. We have people every Sunday in our church through those Bibles. We have visitors every Sunday. Every Sunday, someone will walk up to me and they'll say, I got this invitation to your church. Every there's not a Sunday goes by. Every 52 weeks, every Sunday. And they'll say, I'm looking for the Lifeline Bible class. That's what I'm looking for. That's one of our 16 adult classes. And they go and they find every week that we're getting people in Sunday school saved. Just by, I got home, Raymond got home last night, Saturday night, goes, Pastor, I was out soul winning today. And look what I found at my door, a Bible from North Valley Baptist Church. Our people are soul winners. But is their pastor? Is my passion that everybody has a dying soul? Everybody's going to face eternity one day. Some of you, I know I'll be at the end of the line. Because so many of you are great soul winners. And you love souls, and you love many of you preachers' wives. God bless you. My wife's one of the best soul winners. She's a good soul winner. and she wins people to Christ. I'm telling you, child of God, you're gonna, all of us are gonna look at that soul winning crown. And if we've not been a soul winner, there'll be no crown. You won't be able to deposit anything at the feet of Jesus. There's the soul winner's crown, 1 Thessalonians 2:9. There's the soul winner's crown. And then in addition, there's the suffering crown. I like what the suffering crown in the book of James, and you don't need to turn there. I'll turn there quickly for the sake of time. Blessed be the man. Blessed be the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive a crown of life. God gives a soul winner crown. God gives a suffering crown. You people that are on canes. I'm watching my wife, and she'll say, honey, I wondered if I've got some sin in my life or something. I can't get off this cane. And she's been so agile. We played basketball together, growing our kids up. We played sports together. She's been so active in our church. And she has to hang on to me everywhere we go. I'll tell you what, I've watched that lady suffer. She has suffered with cancer. She has suffered with these broken bones. I mentioned last night, she has suffered, but she's suffering as a Christian. I think of all you that suffer with, I wonder how many people in this room, don't raise your hand, you shot up with insulin this morning. You've got to have insulin shots every day to make it through life. I wonder how many in this room are on cancer treatments right now. I wonder how many are on Lou Gehrig's disease in this room right now. I wonder how many of you are suffering. I mean, how many people would like to be here, but they can't because it's restricted to a bed. God says, if you suffer gracefully, I'll give you a crown of life. I know some folks I've known, I've had their funerals, and they griped the whole time. Just griped about everything, complained about everything. They didn't realize that one day, if they would have just held on a little bit longer, they're going to receive that crown for suffering. You know, there's the soul winner crown. There's the suffering crown. I think of the scripture. There's the servant of God's crown. Pastors, this is for you and me. I believe it's also for Sunday school teachers. I may be mistaken. 1 Peter 5:4. God says that that preacher will receive the crown. Amen. A crown for serving him. I shook hands with several of you this morning, preachers, and he said, I would have been here last night, but I was working. Well, you're bivocational. God bless you that you're willing to do that for the cause of Christ. Yes. God bless you, men of God. You go to a mechanic shop, or you go to a body shop, or you go to the Home Depot, or the Lowe's, wherever you are, or you go cut lawns, or whatever you do, and you do that to the glory of God, and then you stand and preach. I know how much time it takes me to get a message, and you're doing that and working a job and raising a family. God bless you. Hey, I tell you what, men of God, you've got a crown coming. It's a preacher's crown. It's faithful to the cause of Christ, faithful unto death, then I'll give thee the crown of life. I might be wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with retirement. Preachers, they'll keep preaching. But I'll tell you what, I have no desire to retire. No desire. I could have been retired 13 years now already. I have no, what would I have been doing? Sitting in a tree stand waiting for Bambi to come by? Oh, hitting a golf ball down and it never goes where I aim. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve God by the grace of God. There may come a time I can't pastor. And I may get too old and forget that your name's Bob. And you're George and you're Sam and you're Pete. I may forget it all. And I may have to step aside because my memory may... But I'm not going to step aside from serving God. If I wind up in a nursing home, and I probably will, and I wind up in a nursing home, I've got that picture of Dr. Faulkner walking away from Lee Robertson's nursing home room. Have you seen that picture? And all you see is his back, Lee Robertson was here, and he's walking away. Just a sad, sad picture. I might wind up in a nursing home, but by the grace of God, I'm going to form a Bible study and preach to those people. God has a preacher's crown for you. It's a servant of God. You are servants of the most holy God. Hey, I want to say there's a soul in your crown. There's a suffering crown. There's a shepherd's crown, a servant of God's crown. There's a sold out crown. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, the time my departure is in hand, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up a crown of righteousness.
That's right.
There's those people that are just sold out. Oh, nobody knows that. Nobody in our church knows but one or two of the mechanics. But I've got 10 of them that work every single day. I've got men there today that are working every day on those buses, every day for free. Nobody knows them. I've got, it's not a lot. I've got about 60 people in our church that are retired. And we have a retired ministry called Prime Timers. And those people, man, we got them busy. They work in our dining hall, and they come every day, and they serve meals for free in the dining hall to these kids that are studying for the ministry. I've got them vacuuming every single day. We've got them vacuuming. We've got them washing buses. We've got them cleaning things. We've got them doing, they're doing something for the cause of Christ. They're sold out to God for a lifetime. Are you sold out? Take a vacation. Take a day off. You need it. I take Thursdays off. Now this Thursday, got a wedding rehearsal. I've got a wedding on Friday, and I may have a funeral. I don't know what I'll have. I can do all that. But I basically work in my yard. I plant flowers. I love flowers. And don't look bad at me, because Dr. Seitler loved flowers, and he planted his garden. Dr. Roloff, he loved his flowers. He loved his carrots too. But I'm telling you, child of God, There's a sold out crowd. I want to be sold out to God. Don't you? I want to be sold out. I don't want to be looking always, well, this is working in this church. They've left the King James Bible, but it's working, so maybe we'll get a crowd this way. Oh, this is the new contemporary music that they like over here, so maybe we'll try that worship and praise stuff and forget about all hail the power of Jesus' name, and forget about grace greater than all of our sin, and forget about wonderful grace of Jesus and amazing grace. Oh, we'll sing amazing grace at a funeral. How about singing it at God's house? I think of the soul winner's crown. I think of the suffering crown. I think of the servants of God's crown. I think of the sold out crown. There's one more crown. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race won all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That's the self-controlled, the disciplined crown. Maybe you're different than I am. And I really want to tell the good news. But when the days come to say, let's go soul winning, pastors, I never really feel like it. Maybe you do, but I don't really feel like it. I got this to do and this to do, and door to door, no one's going to be home anyway. But you know, I've never come back from soul winning and regret it. I go out many times in my flesh, but the Spirit of God changes my heart. And I wonder today, these crowns, we'll gather them, and at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll get a reward. And those awards will be given. What a day that will be. The man just sang about the Lord coming back again. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I read the account, and I'll close. I read the account of Robert Hansen. My first Sunday at our church, I'll never forget that first Sunday. I had about 25 adults in the auditorium, and it was February 8th, 1976. I remember preaching that day, and I had no experience. In fact, every church that called me, I had four of them. I was supposed to candidate for four churches. And they said, now, we have got nine people. You'll have to live in the nursery. We got 10 people, but you're going to have to live in the church. No, and we can't pay you. And all four of those churches found out how old I was and inexperienced I was in preaching. And they all called back. They said, you're too young and you don't have experience. And I felt like, what do you expect, nine people? What are you looking for, Charles Haddon Spurgeon? I mean, come on. And they all said, you can't come. Colorado, California, other places. And this church called me, and it's just a small little brand new church. They were renting a building, North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara. And the old chairman of the deacons with me for years, he's with the Lord now. He said, if you're God's man, we want you. And I'll never forget he said that. And they chose me to be their pastor. I preached that first Sunday in about 20, 25 adults. And this is actually what took place, just adults in there. My wife had all the kids and the teens out. We had five adults come forward to get saved. And the Hansons came. They live in Virginia now. They're still 50 years later living for God. But it had five adults come forward out of about 20, 25. It was amazing. I just was thrilled. The Hansons were one. I read the account of Robert Hanson. That was one of their boys' names. It's not the same one I'm reading about now. Robert Hanson worked for the FBI. He was a stellar employee. I mean, he had records. And Robert Hanson, every day of his life, stopped by the Catholic Church and went to an early mass service, confessed his sins every single day. He had six kids. But the FBI was following one of the own agents. He was making deals with the Russians, and he was womanizing. And for years, they followed him, 2 years. They found him in a park exchanging money for secrets. They arrested him and his children that were all perfect kids, all upper teenagers now. The children saw their dad on TV being arrested. They knew it couldn't be true. But they found out their dad was a total fraud. Their dad was a liar. He's serving a lifetime prison sentence. He betrayed his country, but more than that, he betrayed his wife. All those years, she thought she was married to a good, godly man. I mean, it wasn't safe, but he would stop by the church every morning. She thought she had a good husband. He provided for his kids. He played with his kids. He precepted his kids and what he knew about the Bible. He was sold out. His wife was betrayed. His kids were betrayed. He betrayed himself. He betrayed his country. And he's in prison today. The lifetime sentence. One day, and it scares me, it's all going to be exposed. My life will be exposed. I want to do it right. I really do. I want to be godly. I want to be in the pulpit. My wife said to me, one of the greatest compliments, honey, you are in the pulpit what you are in the palace. I want that to be so true. I want it to be true. I want to be a soul winner. I want to suffer as a godly Christian. I want to be sold out. I want a shepherd's crown. I want a self-controlled crown, because I'm going to take that crown and take it off and offer it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Say, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and majesty for now and forever and ever.